Hi, I'm Blue, your host and coach helping you create the life and business of your dreams. Welcome back to The Journey with Blue. I believe we get to have it all in this life, but it doesn't happen by chance. It happens by design. We are the true co-creators of our reality. And in my conversation with life and money expert and repeat guest on the show, Tanya Rapley, we break down how you can create a life on your own terms, despite life circumstances, despite where you may currently be now, so that you can step into your power to create a life that you love. Tanya.
I'm back.
No, you are back. So soon, and I love that you're back because I sent you the invite for this. And you said yes, but you were like, didn't I already talk to you?
Yeah, I was like, I don't know if she meant to send this to me because we just did an in-person event in Atlanta earlier this year.
So it's different. We did the Journey with Blue and Live, the Journey with Blue Live with like a full audience.
Yes.
Which was great. And that was around like your path, your journey to your first million that you hit last year, which is still amazing.
Girl, I needed it.
Yes.
It needed to happen.
Yes, and this is different. So this is the show. We got our setup, we got our lights. But this conversation, I think, is so important because, yes, you have the money. You got, you know, that like benchmark of success. But so many times we go for that success thinking that's the answer. But it's truly the life that we want to create.
Exactly.
Right? And there's ways that we can create that without having to hit the 100,000, hit the $1 million mark. And I really want to break that down because for me, I mean, really not even long ago, like right before the pandemic, I was looking at my life and I feel like I would have graded like every area of my life an F.
Wow.
Truly a F, Tanya.
And that's honest. And that's really important.
It was an honest moment that I had to look at my life and realize like the things that I said that I wanted to be a reality, the things that I said I wanted to do or who I was were not in alignment to my reality. And it was a hard moment. This was when I was in New York and didn't have the money, you know, like it was a lot of things going on. And for so long, I didn't know how to get out of it, but I was like, I don't know what needs to change, but something has to change because I was like, this is not it. And I know so many people are in that place where they're like, what is going on? Like, this is not working for me. And they don't, they may not know like that there's an out, that there's something different, that there's something available to them more in alignment or in alignment to what it is they actually want to create for themselves.
I see why you have me here.
And it all makes sense.
No, it does. It does. Because that's what I'm really passionate about. So outside of being a financial educator, which I've been since 2013, so going on almost 10 years in the financial education space, I've really focused on helping people live and design a life they love. Like my whole movement, everything that I'm doing now is design your life and really be intentional about how you want to experience life. Because I think it's really important for us to be honest about how we are experiencing our current life so that we can actually begin to or be intentional about moving towards our ultimate life vision, which I believe is in alignment with our divine purpose. So the reason we were put here. But oftentimes we're, you know, school breaks us down, our parents break us down, family breaks us down, society breaks us down, and breaks, when I say break us down, they like mold us to being what they think our lives should look like instead of honoring who we were created to be. Or inquiry into who we are designed to be. And so I think that, you know, life design is about rediscovering. It's about finding yourself. It's not about having a midlife crisis. It's about having like a whatever, a quarter life awareness or whatever you want to call it. But I'm really passionate about it.
And I love that because we have taken on so many other people's roles and ideals for ourselves. And even with social media, it's like we start to take on other people's lives as our own.
Even with social media.
Yeah.
Even with social media.
Mm-hmm. And I had this conversation with Tika. We had a conversation around emotional intelligence.
My girl, Tika Wilson?
Yes.
Oh, I love Tika.
I meant to tell you anyways, but I meant to tell you that whole backstory.
She was here?
No.
Oh, okay.
But she is really amazing. And she was talking about how people so many times are living a life that's not even attached to what they truly desire.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere along this process, along this journey, we get lost.
Yeah.
And last week or 2 weeks ago, I was in one of Maya's programs. We did a workshop and she brought up like values,
mm-hmm.
you know, like what are the values that you actually like hold true that are mm-hmm. a priority for you? And that was so key, because it's not just like, oh, like, yes, I want to have a great fitness life or mm-hmm. great, like, whatever, like the generic pie of how we break our life down. But it was like, well, what actually like drives you? What motivates
Absolutely.
You? What do you want to create? And I realized like when I was like in college trying to figure out what I wanted to do, I said I wanted three things. And I like said it's my three C's, and I didn't know it was my values at the time. But I said I wanted to be able to create,
mm-hmm.
control, and contribute.
I like that.
And that's how I wanted to live my life. I wanted to be able to create whatever it is that felt authentic to me, whether mm-hmm. it was in my business or in my home life. I wanted to be in control of my time mm-hmm. and how I created things. How much money I made, how much money I didn't make, and contribute, whether that was on bigger scales, like, you know, my show and coaching, mm-hmm. to like, what does my contribution look like for my family?
Mm-hmm.
What does my contribution look like in my home or my community? And so those were my values. And I wonder, like, how can other people kind of like even start there and mm-hmm. discover like, okay, well, what, you know, makes sense for me?
Yeah. I mean, so it's funny that you say that, because one of the pivotal moments for me was when I started therapy, we did a core value exercise, because up until that point, I didn't know what my core values.
A core value.
So we did a core value exercise. And up until that point, I wasn't aware of what my core values were.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I feel like that really kicked off me doing my work. But my core values are joy, personal growth, freedom, and relationships.
Okay.
And when I looked at everything that led to that, you know, freedom, my health is important to me, but that gives me physical freedom,
right.
being healthy. Money is important to me, but that mm-hmm. gives me freedom to decide and wake up and say, you know what? I want to go to LA this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go to LA, you know, and having that time freedom and personal growth, which is just always growing, relationships, which is connection, community, those in my life, my family, my friends, mm-hmm. my business community, the audience that I serve, and joy. Like,
right.
joy has to be at the center of it. And whenever I feel off kilter, I always go back mm-hmm. to that. And so the exercise that my therapist had me do, and it's actually an exercise now that I do in my Design Your Life curriculum, it's an exercise that I do in my 30-day shift program, is we go through a whole list of core values or values, and then we narrow it down, and we mm-hmm. keep narrowing, and we keep narrowing, and we look for the similarities, and we
yes.
narrow it down until you have your four. And they're going to change. I think that's what's important to understand too,
mm-hmm.
that as your life changes, your values change,
mm-hmm.
and your values should change as your life changes. What I valued at 26 years old living in New York City is very different than what I value at 38 years old being mm-hmm. a mother in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah.
Very different.
Mm-hmm.
To an extent, right? Because mm-hmm. I think that joy is, it's also how it shows up. Because
yeah.
joy has always been important to me, but what gave me joy at 26 is not the same thing that necessarily gives me joy right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is like, you can go online and get a core values list. Really walk through it and narrow it down and keep asking yourself questions. I strongly believe that when you get good at asking yourself the right questions, you begin to facilitate your own breakthroughs.
Mm, what are some of those questions?
Some of the questions are, like, I think how you graded your life.
Yeah.
Like, graded all the areas
like,
of your life.
This is bad.
Like, yeah.
And it was hard to say that, right? And it was hard to have, like, that moment, that mm-hmm. revelation. But I had to be real with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure other people were looking like, this is not great. But I had to, like, be real with Blue, because
yeah.
this is my reality. I had to, like, face myself in the mirror.
Because if you're not real with yourself, you know what I mean? Like, you're not going to receive other people being real with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're kind of living in a fog. You're living a facade. But I think that the question should be, so I went to a conference and Tony Robbins said, the quality of your life depends on the quality of the questions you ask. Mm. And that question is, you know, what am I satisfied with in my life right now? What would I like to change? What do I have control over? And what is out of my control? Mm. What habits do I need to take on in order to move closer to my ultimate life vision? And what can I do now? Mm-hmm. I think those are important questions. Like, what can I do today to take action?
Right.
And asking yourself that maybe every day when you wake up, okay, what can I do to take action? What can I do to take action? What can I do to take action? Mm-hmm. Because we always think that action is like, has to be this big thing. Yeah. Like, oh, so I quit my job, yeah, or I relocated. And sometimes action is just writing out a to-do list. Sometimes action is returning a phone call. Sometimes action is getting outside and grounding for a couple of minutes or meditating. Sometimes action is making a phone call to someone who you need to make amends with. Sometimes action is something that's self-care related, like, yeah, going and getting your nails done, or scheduling that massage that you said you would do for yourself, or, you know, so.
I love that.
Yeah.
Because we have to break it down, because, mm-hmm, like, I think anything where we're like, our life, it seems like this big, daunting, mm-hmm, like, I don't know, untackable, that's not a word, I don't know, but like this,
but it seems overwhelming.
Feat. Yes, yeah, it's this huge feat. And it's like, no, just break it down. Like, mm-hmm, you said, what is it that you can do now? What is it in your control? What are those small actions, mm-hmm, that you do have control over? Because there's so much that you don't have control over.
Exactly.
So like you said, do the audit of what can I do now?
And that's,
it,
yeah.
Yeah, make it real. And for me, like I said, I didn't know where to start. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I just knew something had to change. I just said, this doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I think because I had started to open myself, then things started coming to me, and I got involved in a lot of like personal development trainings and like doing a lot of transformation work, which helped freed me. Mm-hmm. But then it also like was like gratitude, like my morning gratitude. And I leaned heavily on this during the pandemic because the world was shut down.
Yes. And like, what are we gonna do? Like,
what are we gonna do? And there's nothing that we could do. It's not like we could open things back up. It's not like I could make contracts come back and, you know, things change. But I also had to realize, like, yes, this is not my most ideal, but I am so blessed. And I had to like just make sure I reminded myself of that, mm-hmm, on a daily basis to shift my energy.
Absolutely.
Because I was constantly in of like a space of like, I don't want to be in Atlanta. I'm, you know, I was living my life in New York, or like I just had these opportunities and that just got canceled on me when I was like in my groove and I had just moved. I had so many things that I felt like were going wrong, mm, that I needed to shift to what was going right.
Yes. I think that is an important realization, because it's very easy to get on like the momentum of the negative, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you want to get on the momentum of the positive. You want to like shift focus and bring back momentum to the positive, because things are going to happen in life. Like, yeah, that's life, and we're here to experience the good and the bad. I don't even want to call it bad, but you know,
it is what it is.
And I think, like, you know, we all have work at any given time, and each season demands different work from us.
Mm-hmm.
And like, my work right now is being focused on the present. I think as an entrepreneur, as a planner, as a mother, I've been so focused on the future. What are we going to do then? 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 It's like, Tanya, you are robbing yourself of the present,
yeah,
by not focusing on what you have going on right now. Like, even as an entrepreneur, you know, even sometimes like invoices might be slow and you're like, oh, when is it coming? But it's like, mm-hmm, you have what you need right now, but you can't accept or rejoice in what you need right now, because you're worried about when this next thing is coming,
mm-hmm,
instead of understanding that you have enough right now. So it is absolutely an ongoing thing. It's like gratitude and being present, being, yeah, in the moment. And I know that people are just like, how do I plan,
yeah,
and be in the present at the same time? You make your plans, you say, this is what I want to do. You set that intention.
Mm-hmm.
And with that being the intention, you can focus on the now, knowing that my intention is to experience that outcome. Right. And so subconsciously, you are going to move towards your intended outcome.
Mm-hmm.
You'll wake up and be like, oh, here we are.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Okay, but what about when you feel like, for people who are like, well, I've planned and things didn't turn out the way that I had planned them, right? But it's like, you make your plans and then life happens, you know, like life happens.
It does. And so I think there's two things, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first thing is like, was that thing supposed to happen? sometimes we make plans and we want things to happen that weren't supposed to happen in our path. And we have to ask ourselves, what happened as a result of that not happening? What opened up for me, or what closed that needed to close as a result of what I wanted to happen not happening? Mm-hmm. And the second thing is, did you do everything you needed to do to make it happen? Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes when I feel like, oh, that didn't go as planned, I really have to ask myself, did you do everything you needed to do? Did you check off every single item on the checklist related to that? Mm-hmm. Like, did you go 100%? Sometimes we go 80% and are upset when we don't get the outcome that 100% would have given us. But right. It's like, you didn't go 100%. Mm. So why should you get that outcome?
That's good.
It wasn't the project. It was your action.
Yeah. And I think, you know, having that personal responsibility is super important and super key in this whole process. Mm-hmm. Because even in my F, I got myself to that F. Mm-hmm. And I knew it was up to me to make those actions to get it to where I actually wanted it to be.
And I think there's power in taking personal responsibility, right? Mm-hmm. Because you know, if you're the reason it didn't happen, you know you could be the reason that it does happen.
Right.
Versus it's outside of your control. Like for me, something outside of my control is, that's concerning for me. Mm-hmm. But if I know I was the reason it didn't happen, so okay, you sabotage it yourself. Go fix it.
Okay. Do you think, is it that easy?
I mean, it's, for me, it's gotten to that point where it is. Mm-hmm. But I've been working on myself for quite some time now.
What about the times when it wasn't that easy for you?
When it wasn't that easy for me, then I asked myself why it wasn't easy. Mm-hmm. Like, I asked myself, is it just because something I really don't want to do and it's out of alignment with me? Is it out of alignment with what I'm supposed to be doing? And usually I'll ask for guidance. I'll ask for guidance and be like, okay, then reveal to me what should occur.
Right.
Because I want this thing to happen with ease and it's not happening with ease. Is there a lesson for me to learn in this? Do I need to ground down and focus on the lesson? Or do I need to be honest with myself about my true intentions related to this? Mm-hmm. And if it's really actually in alignment. Mm. But I also know that everything isn't going to be easy.
Yeah.
And part of the path is like determining, is it not easy because there's a lesson for you to learn in that initiation? Mm-hmm. Or is it not easy because you're pushing for something that is not supposed to occur for you? Mm-hmm. And I can't give anybody that answer. That's like, time reveals that to you. That's something you have to sit back and get still on. Mm-hmm. And really reflect on and ask for signs. But I promise you, you ask for them signs, you're gonna get them in all types of ways.
And I like that. And I do think when things are meant for you, it does come and it does unravel, like in its due time, mm-hmm. the way it's supposed to. And for me, when I talk about now in this process of designing my life, it may be a little bit easier for me because mm-hmm. it's just blue. Like whatever mistake or thing that I get right is just me. Mm-hmm. I don't have anyone depending on me, any responsibilities. I'm not going to be the only one homeless and, you know, on the, mm-hmm. in my car.
You
I won't be on the street.
House if you need to.
Right. But, you know, I realize like I can move a lot differently than most people because mm-hmm. I also, you know, I just have a freer kind of space. But what about women who have like kids and for a husband or just bills and you know, so it's like they're like, okay, design this life, that sounds great in theories, but I got kids to feed, I gotta do this in my day to make sure they're taken care of, like blue, like that's just not my reality. I can't move like that.
That's the responsibility of motherhood, you know, like I think people take motherhood. Okay, so I love social media, but I think that like social media has also romanticized motherhood. Mm-hmm. You know, like people have these cute reels and everything, and granted, like it's the most amazing thing I've ever done. Like my son is one of my greatest accomplishments, but in the same sense, it is absolutely life altering. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that I have my son the way I have my son. Like I waited until I was established in my career. Granted, I don't necessarily have time to have more kids, mm-hmm. and it's like it's me and him. But I think that you do have to prepare for it because it is a life shift and there are advantages that you have in not having children. There are things, your time is freer. You don't, even your emotional freedom that you have in not being a parent. Like my son permanently occupies a place in my heart, in my mind. Right. Like,
You're constantly thinking about where's Paris? How's he?
Constantly. Yeah. Yesterday, his school sent out an alert that, like, an almost four-year-old with a history of seizures, and my son had his first seizures in April, with a history of seizures, was being tended to by the ambulance. Like, I stopped everything that I was doing and, like, ran up to his school. And it wasn't him, thank goodness, but it's just, like, when you don't have kids, you don't worry about things like that. Don't interrupt your day. I've had to, when he first had his seizures, I had speaking engagements that I had to cancel and couldn't travel for. I was on the way out to a documentary screening, like recording, when he had his first one. And so it's like, they become your priority. And for anyone who doesn't have kids, enjoy not having anything else be your priority but you.
Right.
Because there's a lot of responsibility that comes to parenting. And, you know, we kind of talked about how some people are broken down from their divine path or purpose, or molded away from it because of how they were parented. And so we have to think about that as parents who are aware of this. How do I parent in a way that inspires them and encourages them to be who they are? And that's work. Like, that gentle parenting, like, I'm gonna let you be who you are, like, I'm like, encouraging freedom. It's work.
Yeah.
It's work, and it's against what we were raised. So you're kind of like, what do you, like, I'm reparenting myself on a regular basis. What did you say?
Say it, having to check it, bring it back. I know.
I really am. It's like, Tanya, remember. But you're in such a good position. Like, you're in such a, and anybody, I mean, even as a mom, though, I'm still in a great position. But I think that you're in such a good position, and, like, just embrace being full of yourself.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm really thankful for this. And even as we think about the things that are in our control and things that are out of our control, The reality is 80% of the things are going to be out of our control, whether it's in our households, in life, in the world. And, you know, when the pandemic happened, one of my friends, I saw her, like, some months, like, within, into the pandemic, and she was like, Michelle, she was like, it's like the pandemic didn't even happen to you. Like, you've been, like, you know, traveling, you've been having, like, all these opportunities. I've hosted other shows. And I'm like, the pandemic definitely happened to me. But I think when it was, like, all hitting, I told the pandemic how it was going to happen.
Yes, yes.
And I think that is so much power in that. And power that I don't think I knew I had before. But it's a power that we all have.
Yes, yes. Even when we think about the recession, that's, you know, that's looming. It's like, okay, well, that's their truth. This is going to be mine, you know? And that was the same thing when the pandemic happened. I was like, okay, I had to turn the TV off. I remove Apple News stories, like the alerts and everything. Like, I stopped tuning into it because, like, I don't want them to cloud my experience that I am focused on having during this. And it really, like you said, a lot of stuff is out of our control,
right?
But control what you can control. Control what you can control.
Right. So as we're thinking about, like, having the awareness of self, right, and going through your values of what is truly important to you, so doing that inventory, asking those real questions, what else did we say?
It is asking the real questions, taking action.
Small actions,
yes, being present.
We said gratitude was a small action. What are some other? Journaling,
you're writing out your to-do list, like, and literally just doing a task, doing something that you might have been procrastinating on, or something that, you know, will take, like, what you need to do to the next level. Reaching out to someone and having a conversation. Sometimes it's taking action. Asking for help is an action. Understanding, okay, I cannot do this alone. I need this person. I need this type of person to help me. I need this support. I mean, that's been huge in the season I am with finishing my investment property that I ended up converting to Airbnb.
All the things you have going on.
Yeah, I'm actually in a season of simplification, though.
Okay.
I'm simplifying a lot. And so I'm really happy about that for myself. Because the audit, right? And so last year was my most successful year in business. And I told myself, like, oh, I have to have this person. I have to do this and I have to do that. And I was, like, really staffing up. And in my season of simplification now, it's like, this is overwhelming me. Like, this, I don't enjoy having these obligations related to, like, make this big payroll and everything else. I didn't enjoy it. So it's like, I'm going to simplify my life so that I can enjoy it and have what I need. And there's so many things that I enjoy about my life. And now I got to a point where I felt like I was in pursuit of other people's goals instead of really saying, like, these are the things you prayed for.
Yeah.
this is a lifestyle you prayed for. Like, you prayed to be able to have an in-home nanny and have the flexibility to go where you choose and take your son with you and, you know, travel for work and say yes and no to things that didn't serve you. Mm-hmm. You're comfortable. You drive the car you want. I mean, granted, you know, I would drive a Lambo truck if someone gave me one.
But
my Tesla. Like, that was my dream car like 5 years ago. And I have so many of the things I said I wanted. I love my home. So many things I said I wanted.
Yeah.
And so for me, it was, let's simplify, because what are you in pursuit of? Mm-hmm. Instead of just like really enjoying where you are right now.
And I love that, because it's a constant checking in, mm-hmm. right? And that
constant.
Yeah. And realizing that what you wanted before sometimes changes, mm-hmm. and that's okay. Mm-hmm. And like you said, how you felt, mm-hmm. I think that's something that's really key. Like, you felt like, okay, I'm great. Some of these things are a little overwhelming. Let me kind of like streamline, like you said, simplify some things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for people, and this is a story for me and around like the feeling of it. So a couple months ago, I went on a trip to Peru. Mm-hmm. And great trip, went with some girlfriends. And we decided to climb Rainbow Mountain,
ooh.
Which is like, so if you're thinking like, we're like, oh, Stone Mountain, something like easy little hike, not Stone Mountain, Rainbow Mountain, one of the highest like peaks in the world type of situation.
Oh, no.
Like, this is the situation, okay? Uh-huh. And so we had to like ride horseback halfway there. And then we had to go up the elevation. Our tour guide had like oxygen tanks with the...
At what point did you
no,
feel like,
I, no, I love stuff like this.
Oh my gosh, Michelle.
I'm game. It's freezing cold. With each step, like, I'm like losing breath, like thinking I'm about to die, is about to take me out. But we got to the top, had this great moment, like, you know, the fact that we even made it to the top, mm-hmm. that we kept going, because I think at every point we all wanted to give up
without any conditioning. Y'all did this.
Oh, no conditioning. We're not ready, we're not prepared mentally, physically, yeah. not there. And I'm coming back down the mountain on the horseback, and it was just like this beautiful scenery, like horseback looking at the mountains. And in that moment, and I didn't realize this before, in that moment I was like, wow, like, this is what I dreamed of. Mm-hmm. And it's not because I had hit these, you know, dollar amounts, or that like I had all this money or like crazy success in my business. I was like, but this is what I wanted it to feel like.
Yeah.
And it was like with my friends, like we were there for, you know, some time. I only had to work maybe like 2 or 3 hours, like, and I was coaching, you know, someone and supporting them, like something that I absolutely love to do. Mm-hmm. And I just looked at life and I was like, wow, I thought I was chasing the money. I thought I was chasing this like success, this title, but I really was chasing a feeling.
Mm. Mm. And you know what's important about that is, because I often tell people, like, get into the vibration of your joy. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell them, reflect on a moment or experience that you had where you felt joy, like absolute joy. That's one of your moments.
Yeah.
That whenever you feel like things aren't going the way you planned or you feel disconnected from it, just close your eyes and envision and feel that. Mm-hmm. Because there was a vibration of that experience that the brain is not smart enough to determine, like, oh, we're not really there. If you really focus on envisioning and placing yourself back there, the brain is just like, oh, we're there.
Mm-hmm.
We feel all the feelings of being there. And that's one of my favorite activities to do with people and to do with myself.
Yes.
It's like when I feel like things aren't going my way, or I feel like I'm having a hard time tapping into gratitude, I place myself in the vibration of joy and like moments like that. Mm-hmm. And my goal, I would love, so around the work that I do is helping powerful women become even more powerful, but it is for them to experience more moments like that. I can be driving down Camp Creek Parkway listening to Chris Brown, My Windows Down. And I'll be like, this is a moment.
That's a moment.
Life is good. I'm singing at the top of my lungs. The weather feels good. Like, this is a moment.
Take me back to high school.
Yes. Yes. Like, I want more people to have moments like that. Mm-hmm. Yes. 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 It's funny how travel does that too.
Yes.
I definitely had moments like that when I was in Amalfi Coast this summer. I was like,
okay, Amalfi Coast.
I was just looking over and I was like, ooh.
Okay, we love the black girl luxury.
This is a feeling.
And I think that's so important also, because like you said, it can be the smallest things, mm-hmm. and that we can cherish. Like I said, like now being home, like the time that I've been able to spend with my family, mm-hmm. Auntie Michelle is my favorite thing, you know, like those things like have brought me so much joy and have been a part of my values, mm-hmm. of what I get to create, what I get to control, and that I get to contribute in this life. And I think that's so important. And I think that's something that all of us can start showing up powerfully to really design these lives.
I love it.
And to step into it as beautifully, as powerfully, and the infinite possibilities that's truly available to us.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. It's, yeah, I think that there's a lot of times we feel like we did everything right, right? Especially those of us who went to college, got good grades, did all the things we were supposed to do, and then we're still not enjoying our life. And mm-hmm. that is, for you, that is your alert. Like, that's your internal alert or alarm system saying, okay, we need to really focus on coming back to the essence of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that requires a coach. Sometimes that requires a book.
Yeah.
Sometimes that requires some questions. Sometimes, whatever it is, you can start with a book. I love books by Ayanna mm-hmm. Van Zandt.
Okay, like, I never read her book.
Ooh,
really?
Like, I hadn't either until mm-hmm. I went through my divorce. And I was like, this lady can write a book.
Mm-hmm.
Ayanna can write the hell out of a book.
Okay.
I would honestly suggest, like, starting with one of her books and mm-hmm. just starting to, like, kind of process. One of them, it's like a 40-day, it's a book that's like 40 days. Each day you have something.
Okay.
I love that book. I forgot the name of it. But there's also one, like, Black Women Who Were in the Valley, which is a beautiful one. Mm-hmm. It's so much. So, she's good.
Okay.
Start with a book if you can afford or you don't even know what coach you want to work with. Start with a book.
Start with a book. For me, I didn't have the money when I was in New York. Somehow, I don't know where it came from. But like I said, I got involved in a lot of different, well, not a lot, but it started with one and then it trickled into a lot more. Mm-hmm. But personal development programs, mm-hmm. that was huge for me. Like Landmark, like Momentum, which is in New York, and then DC.
Mm-hmm.
So many. And then a coach as well, mm-hmm. you know, that can help you and support you. But you can sit with yourself and do these life audits and ask these questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, don't you have like a workbook to support women as well?
So I have my Design Your Life workbook. I have my class, Clarity Without a Coach. That's available on my, like, through my outlet. So Clarity Without a Coach. My Design Your Life workshop is a great intensive.
Mm-hmm.
We do it annually in March of every year mm-hmm. for people who just want to be surrounded by community. The 30-Day Shift is a program that I do. And we just did our 3-day challenge, the Show Up For Yourself challenge, which I absolutely love.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be offering that again, and that's going to become like a signature program for me.
Yes, and tune into shows like this.
And this, you know, podcasts mm-hmm. are so powerful too.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was late to the podcast wagon, like, as far as listening to
yeah.
them.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, so I'm just listening to people talk? Like,
yes.
But they're so good.
I know.
They're so good. Another thing I've been working on for me is my attachment style.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my love. And, you know, I'm going through a divorce, dating.
Mm-hmm.
And in dating, one of the things I realized that I want to work on my attachment style.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been really listening to good podcasts on attachment styles.
I love
just,
that.
Like, healing. Healing any childhood wounds that you have that affect how you attach in relationships.
Mm-hmm. And I think we're always a work in progress, mm-hmm. in process. You know, that's the whip, mm-hmm. that's the financial terms. We're always a work in process. And so give yourself that grace in this journey of where you are, embody who it is and where you ultimately want to be,
mm-hmm.
and do the things that are in your control each and every day
mm-hmm.
that will help shift your reality.
Yes.
And that is the key to designing your life. So.
That's the key. Like, I'm going to have you speak at the
yes.
next one.
Thank you. Thank you, Tanya. I appreciate
You're
you.
You're so... This is great. This
Thank
is...
Thank you.
We always talk good,
Oh,
though.
We do.
We have good talks.
We do.
Yeah, we do.
And then the million-dollar conversation, the one from January, from February, I'm excited to post that because that was really good too.
Yeah, there's mm-hmm. so many lessons that were learned last year and so many things that this year I'm like, I understand why last year happened the way it did.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially going into this year, becoming a single mother, just like a change in my focus and just really needing to get still and simplify. Like, that really gave me the space and the money
yeah.
that I needed to just do and
yeah.
be. Mm-hmm. It gave me the money to be.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things I've also learned, like, about financial freedom and why financial freedom is so important and financial security is so important. Because in the hard times of your life, it can give you the space to just be
mm-hmm.
and figure out what next steps make
yes.
the most sense for you.
And even create
mm-hmm.
the way you ultimately want to create from a free space.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm so thankful. I've never been able to speak like this and give like this. But it's because I'm in a better place.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, you have to give that to yourself. Yeah. So this was great.
I love it. I hope you enjoyed this conversation and took some notes. Make sure you like, subscribe, and share with a friend. But the conversation's just the beginning. If you're ready to take action to step into your purpose and create a life and business of your dreams, I'm ready to support you along the journey. Head over to thejourneywithblue.com to learn how you can apply to work with me to create results that you're proud of. I'll see you next time on The Journey with Blue.